listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, we've got a huge show to get to today, friends. What is Nicki Minaj doing that matters? Governor Mike Huckabee is going to weigh in. We've got Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation taking Nancy Pelosi on very specifically as it relates to a recent statement that she made. But first, we're going to break down the China connection. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, We Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, coming up, we're gonna break down China three different ways today. So I mentioned Charmaine Yost. Ms. Pelosi, Speaker of the House, yesterday made an absurd statement at a public forum and what it means by comparison to the priorities of what American representatives should be worried about. She will break down from kind of a policy standpoint. But before we get into that, and I want to have a full investigation of this today with my next two guests, we will hear from U.S. Army Colonel David Giamana, who's going to be with us to talk about from a military perspective on the U.S. side of the General Milley Chinese phone call connection, what that means, what kind of protocol that may or may not have broken, what message it sends to the men and women in uniform. I mean, there's a lot to uncover on the United States military end of this. But before I do that, I want to turn to Gordon Chang, who is as good as anyone else on the planet at being able to break down and understand not only our actions and what they mean in terms of kind of what, you know, how the globe thinks of our actions, particularly related to China. But he can also give us the insight of what the Chinese officials themselves think. He's been writing about Southeast Asia on all things related to China and the Koreas and the region for a number of years. His Twitter handle is Gordon G. Chang, and you need to follow him. He's one of the most important voices on the Internet, particularly as it relates to this issue. And Gordon, a friend of the show, always willing to come on and help break stuff down for us so that we can understand. And Gordon, I appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
I think the world was pretty rocked by Bob Woodward's admissions in this book that he got information on these two phone calls that seemed to put General Mark Milley in very bad light. The first one, a little less controversial and maybe more explainable, but certainly the claim in the second call that if there were issues related to the U.S. going on offense, going so far as to pledge that he would alert the Chinese in the event of a U.S. attack. I don't want to be overly simplified here, Gordon. I don't want to misquote what the potential is for being understood. But to your understanding, is that how these phone calls were interpreted? And more importantly, how do the Chinese look at now this controversy in America, see what has been said, and use it to their advantage or disadvantage? What are your thoughts, Gordon G. Chang?
There are two things about China's reaction. First of all, I think General Li Lo-Cheng, who was the other person on the phone with General Milley, he must have been stunned. Now, Chinese elite, both civilian and military, believe that the United States is in disarray and in terminal decline. And General Milley's calls, especially the one in January, I think would have reinforced that notion. And that means that would embolden the Chinese, and that would make them, of course, more belligerent, more dangerous. And that means that the U.S. security and the security of the region has been undermined. But the other thing is, I'm sure that General Li was thinking, where is the spy in Beijing? Remember, General Milley was talking about this because there was intelligence that the Chinese believed that Trump was going to attack them. There were no unusual movement of China's military. There were no civilian preparations. And there's nothing in the propaganda to suggest that they were worried about an attack. And that means General Lee must have thought that if the Americans thought this, then there's a leak in either the Chinese military or in the top of the Communist Party. So I'm sure they're now looking intensified in an intensified way for an American spy.
What does it say culturally to the Chinese leadership if our top general is saying to them, should we go on offense, I'm going to let you know? Is it aid and comfort to an enemy? Is China an enemy? Is it aid and comfort to that enemy? And how did the Chinese perceive it when it was offered?
Well, certainly it's more than just aid and comfort to an enemy. It's actionable intelligence. And this is treason. Remember, Beijing right now is in turmoil. It's got an economic crisis, a debt crisis that could bring down not only a particular real estate company, Evergrande, but it could bring down the Chinese economy, the banking system, the financial system, the political system. And so China right now probably has a use it or lose it mentality. And they probably also thinking that the U.S. is in no position to oppose them. So this is one of the most dangerous periods that we've lived through.
Given the fact that we exited Afghanistan in the kind of disastrous way that we did, and given Chinese interest in that region, but also in just studying us, because something I've learned from talking to you is that they're always watching how we respond and how we react. Does this change their time frame or calendar goals for Taiwan and what they want to see take place there?
It could very well change the time frame by accelerating it, because they might believe that the U.S. System might sort of come back into more stability. And so they might see this window of opportunity. We know that one thing, that they've been much more aggressive with regard to Taiwan. There are these incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. There have been these transits of a Japanese strait there the Chinese Navy had never been before. And, of course, India is worried about a renewed incursion in Ladakh, high in the Himalayas. So China is pressing its neighbors to its south and to its east. And we are seeing much more pressure on the region than before.
Yeah. Does the disastrous exit in Afghanistan heighten that?
I think so, Kevin. And if you look at the Chinese propaganda, there were two immediate narratives in the wake of the fall of Kabul. There was that the U.S. would not come to the rescue of Taiwan when China invaded, and they used the when, not if. And
wow.
They also said in more generally that if the U.S. could not stand up to the insurgents and the Taliban, how could it deal with mighty China? So I think that this actually does reflect Chinese thinking. It's more than just propaganda. It's more than just intimidation. And that is going to make the Chinese more bold. And that means that the risk of war has gone up.
Yeah. Let me then bring up the other kind of interesting news angle on this from this week. The Australia-UK-USA pact to give submarines to Australia. Is this a way that the U.S. can slightly flex and say, you know, we were bad in Afghanistan. We didn't have our act together, but we're still watching you. We've got an eye on you.
Yeah. The announcement of the pact and the pact with the UK and Australia is a really good move because it shows to Beijing that the region and indeed Europe is standing behind countries in Asia. And I think that's important because of this additional pressure on Japan, Taiwan, and India. The one thing I didn't like, Kevin, is that when President Biden announced it with the two prime ministers, he didn't use one word which was absolutely essential. And that word, of course, is China. Also, members of administration speaking to the press without attribution said that this was not directed at China. Well, of course it is. I mean, we're not worried about an invasion from Vanuatu. This is China. And when we don't say China, and when we say this is not directed at China, China actually believes that we're still afraid of them. And that is that undercuts deterrence. So we need to be very clear about this in public to show the Chinese that we're no longer intimidated by what Beijing says.
Well, now that you've brought that to my attention, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We should have been talking it loud and clear, center of the conversation. Anyway, Gordon, always appreciate your insights. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Gordon G. Chang on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Go read, go follow, go learn. You will have your mind expanded as you do. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Big Friday broadcast rolls on.